Come let us sing.
Come let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Come let us sing.
Come let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
The Messiah has come.
The Messiah has come.
And he brought life.
And he brought life.
And he put laughter in my soul. Come let us sing.
Come let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Come let us sing.
Come let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
The Messiah has come.
The Messiah has come.
And he brought life.
And he brought life.
And he put laughter in my soul. It would have been enough.
It would have been enough.
If he brought peace.
If he brought peace.
It would have been enough.
It would have been enough.
If he brought joy.
If he brought joy.
It would have been enough.
It would have been enough.
If he brought love.
If he brought love.
And he put laughter in my soul. Ha 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 ha.
God, and welcome to our online service for Sunday, June 21st, as we commemorate Juneteenth, celebrate those who have served as fathers in our lives, and worship our Abba as Father, demonstrating deep love for each of us. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, and I am excited to welcome back Dr. Dana Gillen to give the teaching, encourage us with a different perspective, and to fellowship together. When Dr. Dana sent the theme and title on Tuesday, I was preparing my talking points for the Champaign City Council to urge them to join and fund a Champaign County Reparations Commission to research local harms in our community, both past and present, and specify actions to address them. I was tired from the Jubilee weekend and struggling to adapt my previous messages to the Champaign County Board to fit this new venue when I read Dr. Dana's title, Conspicuous Christianity Requires Persistent Preparation. My initial reaction was that I don't want to be a conspicuous Christian. I want to be an introvert, private Jesus follower, distancing myself from the brand of white American evangelical Christianity that contradicts Jesus' mission of being good news to the poor, the outcast, the downtrodden, and the immigrant. And persistent preparation sounded exhausting after all the planning and work of the weekend. And yet, as Melissa says, and yet I felt strengthened with the message to prepare, to be persistent, and to show up conspicuously as a New Covenant kind of Christian in the public space in our city. The funny thing is that while I was prepared and present and visible as a representative of Jesus and of New Covenant, a lot of other folks spoke eloquently, and Jeff encouraged me to save my comments for a follow-up meeting. Afterward, as I contemplated the response of the council, I was given a new message for the next time to bring Jesus' truth into those chambers. And so, we are encouraged to be persistent, knowing that God will give us the right word for the right time as we prepare and present ourselves to be witnesses to the kingdom of Jesus. So, I invite you into worship, welcome you into our Father's house, and encourage you to be open to what the Lord has for you today. May God bless our willingness to learn and grow together. Amen.
A privilege. Take the time to talk to God. Tell Him just what's on your heart. Welcome to my Father's house. You are in my Father's house. It is written, it's a house of prayer. When you pray in Jesus' name, you'll experience a change. Welcome to my Father's house.
Freedom is coming, oh yes, oh freedom, oh freedom, oh freedom, freedom is coming, oh yes, oh freedom, oh freedom, oh freedom, freedom is coming, oh yes, oh yes I know, oh yes I know, oh yes I know, oh yes I know, oh yes, oh coming, oh yes, oh freedom, oh freedom, oh freedom, freedom is coming, oh yes, oh yes I know, 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 oh yes I know. Jesus is coming, oh yes, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus is coming, oh yes, yes I know, oh yes I know, oh yes I know, oh yes I, oh yes, oh yes I know, oh yes I know, oh yes I know, oh yes I, oh yes. Is coming, oh yes, oh freedom, oh freedom, oh freedom, oh freedom.
more New Covenant. I'd like to say our prayer for today. It's going to be a combination of praying the celebration of Juneteenth and also celebrating our fathers for Father's Day. There's a lot that can go into these prayers, especially the combination of the two. I think about the fact that after the Civil War, one of the first things that many African-Americans did was look for their families that were broken up during slavery, and people shipped off to different locations across the country. People put in ads and papers, and they made every effort to try to reconnect with their loved ones. It was a first order of business. And even to this day, many Black families have large family reunions, is kind of signifying this importance of keeping family together. And of course, a big part of keeping family together involves our fathers. And I know as many people may have complicated relationships with fathers, and we may have various issues in our families. So I am sensitive to that. I have that issue personally myself. So I still would like to lift up fatherhood and those of us who are celebrating our fathers today. And also just kind of thinking about how fathers play such a critical role in difficult times during slavery and post-slavery, trying to keep their families together. So a lot to pray for. If you pray with me, please. Father, we first of all thank you for showing what fatherhood is all about. Although it seemed like you did drop your son in a deep part of the pool before he was ready, you must have known that he was ready before he did sacrifice himself for all of us. Father, we thank you for our fathers. We thank you for all the ways they contribute to our lives. We thank you for all the ways they've sacrificed for us. Lord, we thank you for just creating fatherhood in general, giving us a sense of comfort and peace, knowing that we have our fathers to watch over us. And if we have difficulties of our own actual fathers watching over us, we thank you for you, Lord, watching over us. And Father, we just like to lift up all the broken families, broken paths, going all the way back to the slave ships that kidnapped different family members in Africa, to all the family separation here in the United States, all the family separation due to things like mass incarceration. Lord, we lift up all the brokenness to you. Lord, we ask that you would heal this country from all that brokenness, any way, shape, and form you see fit. And Father, we just like to thank you for the perseverance of fatherhood through all of that, no matter who you are. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the idea of freedom, being able to celebrate freedom in various ways when it comes to Juneteenth, celebrating their actual freedom from oppression and slavery, but also just, Lord, freedom from being oppressed in life in general. We get to freely live and to hope and to have grace and to live in peace and to love due to you being able to provide that for us and being the ultimate father to us. And so we celebrate our fathers today. We celebrate the perseverance through the brokenness that we've had over the years. And we celebrate for each individual family, each individual household, each individual father. We pray for them, uplift them. We want you to keep them and hold them in your heart, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, My name is Steve Logsdon, and I will be reading today's scripture. We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven.
Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Dana Gillen. I give honor to God, to Pastor Renee, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank the Lord for the privilege to be with you again today. As I reflect on the ministry of mercy, justice, and repair in our community and in our world, I want to encourage us to consider that conspicuous Christianity requires persistent preparation. Let us first focus on persistent preparation. Throughout Scripture, we see persistent preparation prior to the execution of the work God calls us to do. God prepares us and then propels us. Persistent preparation. I want to suggest that our initial preparation starts and persists with prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool that strengthens our ongoing relationship with God. In our prayer, we invite God to guide us, to clarify the work of our hands, to strengthen us, and give us peace. Ephesians 6:18 reminds us to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We must pray all kinds of prayer, public, private, healing, confession, thanksgiving, worship, all prayer, and in the Spirit. Not just speaking words, but connecting our spirit with the Spirit of the Lord, and watching while we pray that we do indeed persevere in prayer, that we are persistent, come what may, and that we make supplication one for another. Persistent preparation begins with persistent prayer. Persistent preparation also requires us to consider the will of God for our lives. Each of us has a unique design and a unique purpose in God's kingdom. Let us seek to understand the unction and divine call of God for us, that we might be prepared for every opportunity God sets before us. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11 tells us, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Scripture is clear that each of us has a gift and that we are to minister it to one another as good stewards. Your gift matters to the kingdom. Your ability to exercise the gift comes from the gift giver. Some of us have hesitated to use our gift. But remember, the ability to use your gift comes from God. And we use these gifts that God may be glorified. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I want to pause and reflect on who we are individually, because sometimes it seems we think God is unaware of who we are when he calls us and directs us. I suppose if I went around the membership of New Covenant Fellowship and took a poll to determine how many of you consider yourselves introverts, there'd be a good percentage of folk who would identify as introverts. Someone focused on the internal more than the external. Someone associated more with reflection and solitude and limits social engagements. Someone with a small circle of close friends who's a deep thinker. Sounds a little like Jesus. Yet Jesus was comfortable with his public ministry. He was indeed conspicuous. He engaged in large crowds, teaching and preaching. He sat amongst the people and communed with them. He was one with the masses and the small groups so that God would be glorified in him. God is well aware of who we are when he calls us to conspicuous Christianity. I've often said that God has an interesting sense of humor when thinking of what he gifted me to do. In my youth, I was painfully shy. I refused recess in grade school so I wouldn't have to be amongst the crowd. I was incredibly studious in middle school and high school, attending no social events. But one day in high school, a family friend invited me to church. I went, and I couldn't stop going. I found myself weeping on the inside and yearning for him in ways I did not fully understand. He pursued me. I felt that in my spirit. And I said, yes, I gave my life and all that I am. I studied his word and I went to all the Bible studies I could find. I went to the small groups. I went to the revivals. I went to the lock-ins. I asked questions. I purchased multiple versions of the Bible and the Bible commentaries. I prayed. I wept. I felt unworthy of his love. And he continued to pursue me. And he showed me the gifts he had invested in me. He said, sing. So I went to rehearsal and they gave me the solo parts. I learned to sing with zeal, even when I didn't always feel confident. Confidence came later, sometimes. Then he called me to preach and to teach. God was glorified. The version of me that wanted to be inconspicuous did not fit the call of God on my life. When I gave him my life and began to study and to pray and to worship, I had unknowingly been persistently preparing for conspicuous Christianity. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That which you do, that which you are called to do, the action you are purposed to take, will require you to be conspicuous, all eyes on you. The ministry of mercy, justice, and repair in our community and in our world is a conspicuous ministry, and it requires all of us. This ministry requires us to show up in spaces and communicate to large and small groups. This ministry requires us to encourage and sometimes to admonish. This ministry requires us to affirm and to love. This ministry requires us to engage and to facilitate. This ministry requires us to give as we have received. In John 8:12, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. Here, in Matthew 5:14, we are reminded that as Christians, we are the light of the world, workers with him, reflecting his light. My brother, my sister, be conspicuous. Be seen doing the work of the Lord, having persistently prepared for this conspicuous Christianity. And remember, it is not your light you are shining, but the light of Christ. We are not responsible for the gift nor the light, but we are responsible for persistent preparation and conspicuous Christianity. As a result of what we do, others will see our good works and glorify God our Father, which is in heaven. Amen.
Sanctuary, pure.
Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary till your work is done. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary till your work is done. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh.
Hi, this is Pastor Melissa with today's benediction. Holy God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your good news in Jesus our Savior. Shine your radiant holiness into our lives, that we may offer our hands and hearts to your work, to heal and shelter, to feed and clothe, to break every yoke and silence evil tongues. Amen.
In the silence, tell me, can you hear the voices calling out of the disappear? Broken spirits, dormant dreams, how much longer will justice sleep when a lawless heart?
How much longer till
rolls and all oppression drowns. It flows with life, love and truth. May the old be washed away and hearts be made anew. Come on, brother, lay your weapons down where the river of justice rolls and all oppression. Till we sing.